Take your Bibles, and we'll be in one passage, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 4 this morning. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 28. Amen. And you stand by, we'll read together Matthew chapter 15. We'll read verses 3 and 4 all together when we get there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Matthew 28, verse number 1 says, "In the end of the Sabbath, that as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And so quickly, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." Verse 3 and 4 altogether. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Amen. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ right there. And so we're going to preach on that here this morning. Father in heaven, thank you for this Resurrection Sunday. And Father, as I thought this morning, we don't know if you're going to come back in the year 2024, and this may be our last Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, that we can gather together as a church family to memorialize this event in history. And Father, would you bless this time of preaching and reading of thy word. Father, I've already been blessed with the singing of thy holy songs, and now we come to the preaching. Would you provide another blessing for those that are here? I pray, God, for anyone here that does not know you as Savior, that in these next few moments that you would prick their hearts, and I know you're already drawing them to you, that they would set aside their pride and they would get saved on this Easter Sunday. That would be our desire and our prayer. In the name of Jesus I pray, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. The title of the message is From Death to Life. Now, much has been preached about this particular topic, written about, regarding the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. There have been many lectures, sermons, and discussions over the resurrection over the years. Many of these discussions, they tried to prove the resurrection. But we only need to look at one book to prove the resurrection. And you have it there in your lap. It's the Scriptures, the Holy Bible. So we should take God's word for its claims that Christ was buried and arose in 3 days. We should take it for what it says. Amen? That's what he did. He rose from that grave. The resurrection is the key to our faith. It truly is. We need the resurrection. Without the resurrection, our faith would really truly fall apart. It wouldn't hold together. Without the resurrection, our faith would just simply crumble. Someone once said, if the cross is the payment for our sins, then the empty tomb is the receipt. Amen? But we need the proof, amen, that he didn't just stay dead in that tomb, but he rose on that third day. That's the proof. That's the receipt. We need the resurrection. If he didn't rise, he couldn't ascend. If he couldn't ascend, he couldn't send the Holy Spirit. That's Scripture. He said, I must ascend, because if I ascend, I'll send the Holy Spirit down to do several things in your life. Amen. The Holy Spirit does several things in our life. He transforms our lives. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. The Holy Spirit guides us to the truth. The Holy Spirit empowers us to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts as Christians. The Holy Spirit even empowers us to worship here this morning. The Holy Spirit also leads us. Truly, the resurrection is the heart of Christianity. If he did not rise, how could we have the hope of eternal life? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep or have died, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." That's the hope we have. Oh, the resurrection truly did occur, Christians. It is our hope of eternal life. It sets us free from sin as well. There are some out there that deny the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, but there is really a severe consequence for doing so when you deny the resurrection. To deny the resurrection would be to say that Christ is not raised. And if Christ rose, then we too shall arise, just as he arose. If Christ did not arise, then we will not arise as well. You see? He has to arise from the grave and live forevermore. Otherwise, when this life is over, just call it quits. That's it. Amen? There's nothing to hope for. There's nothing to live for. He is our Savior. Therefore, we too shall arise. You see, our resurrection simply wouldn't be possible if Jesus Christ did not conquer the grave. Right. So if Jesus did conquer the grave, then he is still, then if he did not then conquer the grave, then he is still dead. Amen? And those who have gone before us, our loved ones and our friends who have gone before us, they're sitting in that cemetery as dead bones and decaying flesh, and they did not arise, and we will never see them again. There will be no hope. But you see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ goes hand in hand with our resurrection. He arose to conquer death, and he made the way for us too as well. Amen. He made the way for you and me. Our body and spirit will be raised and live forever with God. I mean, that's what makes Christianity so great. Amen. Because we have the hope of eternal life. There is no other religion that can claim that their Savior lives. None of them can. Not a one can claim their God lives again after death. I love that song, "If You Knew Him." Wish we had time, I would have sang it today, but maybe I'll sing it right now. Amen? It goes like this. It says, "I walked by the tomb of Buddha, looked inside and saw his bones. I traveled on to see Muhammad, still wrapped up in his grave clothes. Then I journeyed to a garden where old Joseph left him lay, the precious lamb, God's own begotten, was no longer in the grave." That chorus says, "If you knew him like I know him, you would know that he's alive. If you felt him like I feel him, resurrection deep inside, you know he's living and death has died." Yeah. Amen. There's no other religion can claim what we can claim, that we serve a risen Savior. Amen. He's in the world today. I know that he is living no matter what men may say. Amen. We serve a risen Savior. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8 says, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel." And his gospel was Jesus' gospel. Amen. To deny the resurrection of either Christ or of us means that our faith is vain. We have a vain faith. Why are we here? Why are we doing this? The word vain means fruitless or futile. That is, you and I are still in our sins. If Jesus Christ had not risen from the dead, that is, he's still dead in the grave. That means there is no redemption and there is no forgiveness of sins. But the Bible tells us that we do have forgiveness of sins. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 1, my little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation, he's the payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So the Bible tells us, you see, all this that we're doing right now would all be in vain. Why are we here? Why are we going to church? Why are we sacrificing our time? Why are we sacrificing our talents? Why are we sacrificing our treasure that you hold on so dear to? You hold on to that wallet so tight anyways. Why would we even give anything if Jesus didn't live again? Well, if all that wasn't proof that Jesus lives, there's tons of Old Testament predictions of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to give you one of them. But every aspect of his birth, his life, and his death, Jesus the Messiah walking on this earth was prophesied in the Hebrew Scriptures. In Psalm chapter 22, verse number 18, the Bible tells us they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture, but be not thou far from me. O Lord, my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. I believe we have a glimpse, hundreds of thousands of years before this would take place. Jesus going to the cross and resurrecting. We get a glimpse right there in the Old Testament of what was to occur. So the resurrection is the key to Christianity, saints. And so Paul outlines for us the heart of Christianity, which is the gospel. And the resurrection is part of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in our text here, notice verse number 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He said, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. He's given them what he received. He received salvation, and he's given it to them. Paul did not make up this gospel. Amen. He said, I got it. I received it. And by the way, you got to receive the gospel. Amen. If you're here today and you have not received the gospel, you've got to receive it for what it is. I'm going to give it to you plainly as I can today, the gospel. It's not from man, but it's from Jesus Christ according to the Scriptures. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul often had to defend the position of the gospel and defend himself, and here he has a defense of the gospel itself. So this is not Paul's gospel in the sense that he created it or fashioned it. I want you to notice we must receive it. The gospel isn't a matter of religious opinions, amen? It's not about fairy tales. It's a real event that happened. And so it's the gospel according to the Scriptures. Many of us didn't even know where the gospel was. Amen. Where are we going to find it? Right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is the gospel. Number one, the gospel, Christ died. He died. The death of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, is the center of the gospel. It is strange that you and I would glory in our Savior's death. My Savior's dead, you know. He died on a cross. He was murdered. Woo! But you know, as Christians, we actually do glory in his death. I mean, we do. That's what we're going to worship on Thursday. We're going to have the Lord's Supper. We glory in it because we know what it brought for us. It brought us salvation. Yes, we do glory in the death of our Savior. It seems foolish to the world, but it is salvation to those who believe. The world doesn't understand this stuff. Amen. What are you doing there singing by our risen Savior? They don't get it. Amen. But we understand it. Well, how did Jesus die? Well, the Roman government executed him by one of the most cruel and excruciating forms of capital punishment ever devised by man. It's called crucifixion. It's where we get the word excruciating. That's where that word is formed. The word excruciating has come from the word crucifixion. Although the Romans did not invent crucifixion, I tell you this, they did perfect it. They perfected it. It's a form of torture and capital punishment that was designed to produce a slow death with maximum pain and suffering. So what was it like to be crucified? Well, first they would take the back of the person and they would scourge them. They would scourge them, open up their back with a cat of nine tails, which was some hooks at the end of this long whip, and it was embedded with glass and metal and bones and things like this. And they would take that and wrap that around the back of the Lord Jesus Christ or towards the shoulder area and bring it down. And so it would take the flesh, removing the flesh from his body. And the clotting blood was then ripped open again when the clothes were torn from the victim. And when he was thrown on the ground to nail his hands to those cross beams, the wounds were again torn open and contaminated, you can imagine, with dirt. And then as he hung on the cross, with each breath, the painful wounds on the back scraped against that rough wood, it would re-aggravate that injury that he had already sustained. And when the nail was driven through his wrist, it would sever the large median nerve, and that would produce excruciating pain that would vibrate all the way through the arm, both arms, causing them to have a crawl-like grip. Beyond the excruciating pain, the major effect of crucifixion was it would inhibit the normal breathing of the person. The weight of the body pulling down on the arms inhibited the breathing. As you can imagine, if you were up on this cross and your arms are stretched out and in that position, it would inhibit your breathing. It's not a normal position to be in. To get a good breath, one had to push against the feet, which were also nailed to the cross, and they would flex the elbows, pulling from the shoulders, putting weight on the body and on the feet, producing searing pain. And flexing the elbows twisted the hands hanging on the nails as well. So lifting the body for a breath was excruciating in itself. As they would lift his, he would lift his body up, he would scrape his back against that wood again, which was already open. Each effort to get a proper breath was agonizing and exhausting, and it led to a sooner death. Not commonly, there would be things that would obviously fly around and attach itself to you, a bird or an insect, and you would be helpless to scratch or to be able to defend against a bird trying to eat your flesh. Deaths from crucifixion could come from many sources. Blood loss, shock, being too exhausted to breathe any longer, dehydration, stress-induced heart attack, or congestive heart failure. If the victim did not die quickly enough, the Roman soldiers would come and break their legs so they would be unable to lift up and to breathe. Oh, how bad was crucifixion? Well, it was terrible. And sometimes we've got to sit there and think about what our Savior went through. So Christ died. But it wasn't just that. He died for our sins, Paul says. God the Father laid upon God the Son all the guilt and wrath of our sin. And Jesus bore himself, satisfying the wrath of God that God had, satisfying that wrath. Isaiah chapter 53, it says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Amen? Amen. So understand, saints, it was our sins that put him on that cross. He did not die as a martyr. He did not die for political reasons. He died because Dwayne put him on that cross.
Right.
And you could put your name there too.
Yes.
Our sins he paid for on that cross. Christ died for our sins. And he was buried. Amen. This is the next part of the gospel. We don't often think of the burial of Jesus as part of the gospel. You know, we kind of overlook that, don't we? But the burial is important. Because it's proof positive that he really died. No burial. Did he really die? Isaiah 53 verse 9 says, "And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth."
Right.
He had to go in the grave like a common man, a wicked person. But this is the part we like, amen? He didn't stay in that grave.
Come on
now. So Christ died for our sins, was buried, and he rose again. One pastor wrote, "Sin was defeated, but nothing positive was put in its place until the resurrection. The resurrection showed that Jesus did not succumb to the inevitable result of sin. The resurrection is proof of his conquest." Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40, "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." By the way, I know we love Good Friday, but that's not good math. Amen. Him being buried on Friday is not 3 days and 3 nights to get to Sunday. And that's why we don't celebrate that here, because it doesn't make sense. Amen. It's most likely, according to the Jewish calendar, it was probably maybe even Wednesday night or evening or Thursday sometime when he died to give us 3 full days and 3 full nights to get us to Sunday early in the morning. This is why the resurrection is so important. It's 2 peas to a pod, amen? His death and his burial. We need both of them, man. We need both of them. We can't have one without the other. Let me ask you here this morning, do you believe the gospel, amen? Do you believe the gospel? Do you believe in the death? Do you believe in the burial? Do you believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, he did all that. He did all that, what we just talked about, so that you and I could have a home in heaven. That's why he did it.
Amen.
The last verse of that song, I didn't sing it, but I'll read it to you. If you knew him, if you're wandering in the darkness, come and step into the light. Nail-scarred hands reach out to help you, to pull you safe from death to life. Friend, I too have stood where you stand. Could I trust in things I see? Just one step in his direction, then in love, he ran to me. Amen. Really, that's what you need to do. Amen. We need to take the step in the right direction. If you're here today, you don't know Christ as your personal Savior. Take that step. Amen. He's out there. He's got his nail-scarred hands reaching out for you.
Amen.
He wants to save you. Friend, Jesus died. He was buried, and he rose again for you and for me. All that needs to be done is for you to receive that free gift of salvation. It's not by anything that you can do. It is a free gift. Freely offered by Jesus Christ. In fact, in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost,
amen,
which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, that's the free gift, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You get to be heirs, amen? You get to have an inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it all comes through trusting in him by faith, and faith alone, amen? For by grace are ye saved. And it's all by faith. It's all by faith. Not of works, lest any man should boast about it. So the scripture tells us that we'd boast if we could earn our way to heaven. Why would Jesus have to get nailed to a cross and be whipped by a cat of nine tails? And I'm not even covering all they did to him. For you could just do something good and earn eternal life. Man, if I just go to that church enough, if I just say enough Hail Marys, if I just help that old man get a jump of his car, amen? If I just do this, if I just do some good deeds, that'll earn me into heaven. Then why did Jesus have to suffer? If we could even do a little bit to earn heaven. No, there is nothing that you can do. Jesus did it all. And all we need to do is take a step in the right direction. I want you to look at the plan of salvation with me. If you'll take your Bibles, go to the book of Romans. Romans. If you're in 1 Corinthians, just go back a book. And I want you to go to the chapter number 3. Romans chapter 3. I'm going to wait for us all to get there. This is really important. These are verses that were shown to me in December of 1999 that changed my life forever. Romans chapter 3, verse number 23. Read it with me. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The very first thing you need to know, this is the gospel, this is what Jesus paid for, is that we are sinners. That's why he had to die. We read the verses that it was our iniquities, it was our sins, that's what that word means, that put him on that cross. We have to recognize that we're sinners, that we do wrong. On any given day, right, we're still rotten, you know? On our best day, that was the best day, I felt sinless. No, you're still rotten. You were still rotten to the core. You may not have thought you were doing good, but you probably thought something that was wrong. Or did something that was wrong. We're sinners. You got to know that. And notice in Romans chapter 5. Verse 12. We're going to talk about what this sin. We're going to start seeing the result of sin. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. This is talking about Adam. In the very beginning, Adam and Eve, they sinned in the garden. And they passed that sin to us through the bloodline. So now we naturally do wrong without even being told how to do it. Right. Amen. I never had to teach my little son, Carson, how to do bad things. Right. It naturally came to him. And you know your children too. You didn't have to sit them down. Let's teach you how to be ungrateful. Let's teach you how to hurt your sister. Let's teach you how to do this and steal and cheat. Never had to do it because it came naturally to us. We're all sinners. And notice in chapter 6, in verse 23, notice what this sin does. For the wages of sin is death. That's talking about an eternal death, a death that's forever. It's a separation from God in a place called the lake of fire. For the wages of sin is death. We love the last part of that verse. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're glad for that. Amen. We're glad for the eternal life. But recognize if we don't get our sin problem dealt with, we're going to have an eternal damnation separated from the Lord Jesus Christ. We must receive Christ as our personal Savior. Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 8. Bible tells us, but God commendeth He demonstrated his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He demonstrated. How did he demonstrate it? On the cross. He gave his life. He shed his blood for you and me. So that we can know heaven. Go to chapter 10. You want to know how to be saved? We're getting there, amen. Romans chapter number 10. Verse number 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Confess. Believe in what he did. Believe in the sacrifice on the cross. By the way, it's not saying you turn over a new leaf or stop sinning forever or anything like that. No, just simply believe in what he did. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not complicated, folks. We overcomplicate salvation. These verses changed my life, amen? And I believe that they can change your life too. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, would you put your faith and trust in him? Would you do what Romans 10:13 says and call upon the Lord and be saved? All you got to do is pray, amen? Ask him to come into your heart. You don't need me to do a magical prayer. You don't need me to do anything for you. You can receive the Lord Jesus Christ based upon these verses and your belief in what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you. Let's stand together. Every head bow, every eye closed. You said, Pastor, as the pianist comes, do we have a pianist this morning? I guess we don't need one. Amen. Holy Spirit's working. You say, Pastor, the Lord spoke to me in that message about something. If that's you here today, the Lord spoke to me. Somebody lift up your hand. The Lord spoke to me about something in the message this morning. I see that hand. I see your hands. Thank you. Thank you for being honest. In a moment, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask God's blessing on this invitation time. While I'm praying, if you have not received Christ as your Savior, you can pray, call upon the Lord and say, Lord, come into my heart. I know I'm a sinner. I know that I need you in my life. I know that I do wrong things. Lord Jesus Christ, take me to heaven when I die. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, I trust what you did on the cross of Calvary to secure my salvation. I'm not trusting in my good deeds. Lord, I'm trusting in your sacrifice, your blood sacrifice. I believe that you died, you were buried. I believe the gospel, and that you rose again. Come into my heart and save me. You can pray that prayer and ask God to save you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this time together around your word. Pray, God, you would work in hearts as only you can. I pray, God, that you would minimize distractions and help us just to focus on receiving you and making changes and application in our life. I pray, God, that you'd work in the hearts of anyone that's not saved here, that they would trust you, that today they'd have the memory of 2024, Resurrection Sunday at Crossview Baptist Church, that this was the day that they got saved. God, work in their hearts. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.